hear the word of God from Luke 10. While Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered into a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who was sitting at the Lord's feet and was listening to his words. But Martha was distracted with many things and with all the preparations that had to be made. Coming to Jesus, she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving by myself? Speak to her that she might help me." But the Lord answered her, saying, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, there's a story about a pastor who had a church member who was a farmer who never attended church. Over and over again, the farmer told the pastor he wasn't able to make it to church the last Sunday because his ox had fallen into the ditch. Week after week that happened, and week after week the farmer said to the preacher, "Even Jesus said, if your ox falls into a ditch, even on the Sabbath, it is not wrong to get your ox out of the ditch." Finally, the wise old pastor said, "Yes, that's true. But if you have an ox that keeps on falling into the ditch, keeping you from going to the church, it's time to pull out your shotgun and shoot the ox." Today's text is all about priorities. You and I are busy. There's no question about that. We're always on the go at freeway speeds. Camping and cookouts, fishing and hunting, baseball and softball, soccer and swimming, work and shuttling kids. There's barely time for a family meal, much less an evening devotion. But the Bible says worship is always to come first in the Christian congregation, the Christian home, and a Christian's life. Any work, priority, or pleasure that takes the place of worship, no matter how honorable or important it may be, at that point it becomes idolatry. When we're so busy that we can't pause to hear God's word, it's time to shoot the ox. We often think that busyness is next to godliness. Many people treat worship as an optional activity, something you do if there's time left on the schedule. But in Deuteronomy 8, God says to the people, "These words are not just idle words. These words are your life." In John 6, Jesus asked the disciples, "You don't want to leave me too, do you?" And Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Some of the saddest words I hear as a pastor are, "Pastor, we'd like to make it to church more often, but we're just too busy." My answer to that is it's time to put that idea that worship is an optional activity to death in repentance. The third commandment says, remember the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath means rest. Remember the rest day to keep it holy to the Lord. And what does this mean? Luther says we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. In our text, Jesus arrives at Bethany and enters the home of Mary and Martha, and we're told that Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to his words. But Martha, we're told, was distracted with many things. Our text is really kind of talking about priorities. You see, the only thing that will matter for us and our children when we're lying on our deathbed, if we could project ourselves forward to that day, is, did I trust in and know my Savior Jesus? And for parents, did I teach my children to trust in the only one who checked back out of his grave alive after paying for our sins? In other words, did I teach my kids how to get out of their graves alive when they die? While there is nothing inherently wrong with sports, friends, money, TV, pleasures, working hard, Nevertheless, today's text reminds us that the one needful thing in all of life, flat out, hands down, slam dunk, is Jesus Christ, the Savior, and his words of life. In our text, Martha is busy and distracted with many things. You get the picture that she's frantically running around the house, sweeping the floor, fluffing the pillows, setting the table, stirring the soup, baking the bread. And these things are not wrong in and of themselves. Who wouldn't want to have a clean house and a nice meal if Jesus were coming for a visit? In the meantime, Mary just sat on the floor at Jesus' feet, quietly taking in every word. That's when the fireworks begins. The pots on the stove start boiling over. The bread is burning in the oven. A dish slips and breaks on the floor. The cat hops on the table and starts to eat the flower arrangement. And Martha comes stomping in through the kitchen door with fire in her eyes and steam coming out of her ears. "Lord, don't you care that Mary has left me to do all the serving by myself? Here I am working my fingers to the bone while you and Mary are just having a nice quiet talk on the couch." Martha is angry, not only with Mary, but also with Jesus. And she wants him to give Mary the law. Tell her to help me. What Martha does in trying to be hospitable to Jesus is not wrong in and of itself. Martha simply tries to show her love for Jesus by what she does, being hospitable, serving him, feeding him. But what's wrong are Martha's priorities. That is, what comes first? What always comes first is God's forgiving, life-giving word. What comes first is his serving us, his giving, and our receiving. What is more important than serving our Lord is to first hear his words. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve you, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And any service we render the Lord must and can only flow out from hearing God's word and believing that Christ loves us. Martha is a picture of our lives. We too often find ourselves so busy with life, busyness that is oftentimes self-imposed, that sitting at Jesus' feet becomes an optional activity rather than the one needful thing. As a result, those things that are ordinarily not sinful can become sinful. Sports and possessions, pleasures and friends, vacations and money, work and play. Because in making them a priority, we often find that we have no time in our lives, in our homes, and in our families for the shed blood of Jesus and the empty tomb of Christ. It becomes just one option that we can eliminate if necessary. We're so busy that we have no time or make no time for God to do what he does, to serve us with his washing, his words, and his feast. In her busyness, Martha completely lost sight of why she was working so hard. It is a joy, first of all, to be served by Jesus, to be given his love and life, his forgiveness and faith, and his salvation all through his word and sacraments. And then it is a joy to serve him in response. The priority is Jesus is giving to us. Jesus is teaching us. His serving us. There's a reason we Lutherans call worship divine service. Because worship is first and foremost the divine God giving to us forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's the main thing. And if you and I lose sight of that, any service or busyness we render becomes a burden rather than a blessing. In her frustration, Martha resorts to the law. Tell Mary to help me. She wants Jesus to resort to the law too. She wants Jesus to tell Mary, the word can wait. We've got food to cook. But Jesus will never say, the word can wait. It is not correct to simply say Martha's bad and Mary's good. Martha's service to Jesus is certainly better than the apathy of those who could care less about Jesus Christ and his shed blood or his risen body. Both Mary and Martha are sinners. Both know they're forgiven by Christ. But comparatively speaking, Jesus admonishes Martha and praises Mary because Mary is keeping the main thing, which is hearing the good news that God declares the unrighteous to be righteous, even though he knows we're unrighteous. Mary is accepting her role first as a guest and a recipient and a little lamb and letting Jesus take care of her. In other words, there is a time to be both a Mary, a recipient of God's gracious service and words, and that should come first. And then there's a time to be a Martha, serving the Lord with gladness. But the priority must always be on the hearing of how God loved us and gave his Son as a sacrifice for our sins and receiving his holy absolution. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. For without God serving us, you really can't serve him or live with him. So Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're distracted and troubled by many things, but only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, you're distracted and troubled trying to prepare some earthly food, but Mary has chosen what is best, allowing me to feed her with heavenly food. That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The heavenly food that Jesus says, whoever eats this bread that I give will live forever. And this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Jesus' words to Martha are a reminder of that. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures unto eternal life, which the Son of God will give you. For I am the living bread which came down from heaven, which a person may eat and not die. Jesus is also reminding us who is guest and who is host. For even when we welcome Jesus into our lives, our homes, and our churches, he is not simply the guest. He still remembers the host, and we are the recipients of his service. Thus, going to church and sitting and listening at Jesus' feet is not doing God a favor. It is God doing us a favor, serving us with all of his heavenly gifts. When we come to Holy Communion, we are not doing a good work of service which merits God's favor. We are coming as beggars and holding out our beggarly hands, and Jesus, who is both chef and host and food in the supper, feeds us with a food so great that it enables beggars to live forever, harvested from the tree of life of Christ's cross. Sure, we respond to God's grace in the divine service and in our lives, by confessing and praising his name, by serving our families and neighbors. But first things first, until we sit at his feet and listen to the words of eternal life, until we are passively washed in the waters of baptism, until we are passively fed the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ in the Lord's Supper that cleanses us from all sins. We do not we not only do not have life, but we cannot render service that is pleasing. When Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her. We are reminded of how King David defined this one thing that is best in Psalm 27, where he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. You are here this morning and every Sabbath to receive gifts. Who doesn't like to receive gifts? We should be bursting down the doors every Sunday morning to get our gifts. God brought you here. Yes, you may have drove yourself or were driven by someone, but the Spirit ultimately drove you here to the feet of Jesus. To hear, you are here, and you're here to keep on coming and to keep on being given to. To worship is to sit with Mary, to rest with Jesus, to let his word have its way with you. Worship is rest. Sabbath is rest. To rest in Jesus and his word, his saving death, his forgiveness, his grave conquering life. It's a busy world out there, but there is rest. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, but there are gifts to be enjoyed. Sit at Jesus' feet each Sabbath and receive his rest and his gifts and enjoy your being given to. And only then serve Jesus. Of course, not to please God, but to thank God that he has made you pleasing to him. All in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.